Hello, friend Craig Ballard, Locked On Blue Jays. Today's episode brought to you by Ultimate Baseball GM. In today's episode, going to take a look at the player that I think is going to be the 2023 X Factor for the Toronto Blue Jays. Also going to deep dive some good, bad, and ugly of this new Blue Jay outfield and more.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I am Craig Ballard. I am Locked On Blue Jays, and I am thankful that you're spending part of your day talking Toronto Blue Jay baseball with me. It's Monday. Nobody likes Monday, but if we glass half full this thing, then we'll take a look at it this way. It's Monday of a week where we see a return to Blue Jay baseball, right? Okay, that's going to be, hopefully that'll help get us through this, our manic Mondays, our Monday blues, right? Want to start today's show with some housekeeping. As last episode, we had a Locked On Blue Jay trivia question, which was, the franchise record, Blue Jay franchise record for most hits in one game is 6. Drop your guesses, because it's been done twice. Two different Blue Jays have done that. Drop your guesses. A lot of you did get one of them. A lot of you got Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And so well done. That was a few months back in that wonky game at Fenway Park where Tapia had that inside the park grand slam where the center fielder lost the ball, like that crazy game. The other was back in 2004. By the first one accomplished in 2004 by hit machine Frank Catalinato. Shout out to Frank Catalinato, one of my favorite Blue Jays ever. Now, in today's episode, I'm going to kick this off with taking a look at the X factor for the 2023 Toronto Blue Jays. I think if there's one thing, it'd be rare, but if there is one thing that the entire fan base would agree on, it's that the X factor, the unsung hero, the unsung MVP of the 2022 Toronto Blue Jays was Ross Stripling. This season, I'm looking at a similar contribution. Now, Ross Stripling just became that veteran presence and that stabilizing presence in that rotation, right? This season, I don't think it's a pitcher, but I do think it's somebody that brings a veteran presence and a stabilizing presence. I think it's Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield acquired at the trade deadline last year. I thought that the fanfare for when the Blue Jays brought in Whit Merrifield was significantly too low. I like Whit Merrifield a lot. And the thing is, we know the Toronto Blue Jays like Whit Merrifield a lot. If you look at Shapiro and Atkins, their era, they've tried, I mean, sit down and get comfortable here, because I'm going to rhyme off some guys here that they've tried to bring in as their own sort of poor man's version of Whit Merrifield. And a Whit Merrifield type player, that's that Swiss Army knife. You can put them anywhere in the batting lineup, you're going to get production. You can put them anywhere in the field defensively, you're going to get production. And no matter where you put them in the field defensively, they're not going to be out there embarrassing themselves. They're going to be legit. Shapiro and Atkins, oh my goodness. They've tried this with Darwin Barney, Andy Burns, Chris Coughlin, Richard Urena, Rob Riefschneider, Aledmys Diaz, Brandon Drury, Gift Ngope, John Birdie, Eric Sogard, Alan Hansen, Breivik Valera, oh my goodness, Jonathan Villar, Joe Panik, Kevin Smith, Cato, maybe to a lesser version, even a Vinny Capper, like just a laundry list of guys that they've tried to bring in to be their poor man's version of Whit Merrifield. Now walking in the door, the actual Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield, a .285 career hitter. Whit Merrifield has led the league in stolen bases 3 times. His career hitting with runners in scoring position and with 2 outs with runners in scoring position is next level. It's as good, I would honestly say it's better than any Toronto Blue Jay that is currently on this roster. So that's got to be very exciting. Talk about his stolen bases. As recently as 2021, Whit Merrifield led the league in stolen bases, doubles, and sacrifice flies. Base running, sacrifice flies, situational hitting. Whit Merrifield is not at all a home run or bust hitter for this Toronto Blue Jay offense. He's going to be able to help generate offense in ways that this offense has not had an option, has not had a player like this in the past. Very excited here. Now, what happened in 2022? Because I think on the surface, when the Blue Jays acquire Whit Merrifield, if you take a look, you see at the time he was hitting, I believe it was .240. He was having his worst season, probably by far, actually, in baseball. I want to touch on that for just a moment here now, because let's take a look at what must have been, I don't know this, of course, but I'm thinking what must have been going on between the ears of Whit Merrifield in 2022. He's a Kansas City Royal his entire life. He knows coming into 2022 that he's going to be traded at the trade deadline. So mentally, Was he all in for that last place Kansas City Royal team? I don't think he was. He knew that at least one foot was out the door, and whether he wanted one foot to be out the door or whether the Royals were forcing that one foot out the door, regardless of how it happened, he was not going to be a Kansas City Royal for much longer. So I really think that mentally things were draining on him. It would have been quite a surprise for him to be traded to the Blue Jays. We know he wasn't vaccinated when Kansas City came to town during the season, got vaccinated to be part of the Blue Jays. So just a completely different season from a mentality standpoint in 2022 than Whit Merrifield has ever had to endure. So I'm willing to sort of write off his poor 2022 with Kansas City. We're going to get into how he did with the Blue Jays, which was stellar, but the majority of last season he was with Kansas City and he was downright bad. But as I say, I'm willing to write that off as something that's understandable. And when you take a look in the division, it is true that Whit Merrifield needs to be better against the Baltimore Orioles. He's been good against the New York Yankees, but what is really exciting, he has been absolutely dominant against the Boston Red Sox and the Tampa Bay Rays. Absolutely dominant. Now, as far as a power standpoint, his career high in home runs is 19. What's really funny, now he had 11 last season, five with the Blue Jays, though. Five of those were with the Blue Jays after the trade deadline, one at Yankee Stadium. How about three home runs for Whit Merrifield as a Blue Jay last September at Tropicana Field in Tampa Bay? The Blue Jays' house of horrors. The Blue Jays never win at Tropicana. The Blue Jays never have a hitter that does well at Tropicana. So Whit Merrifield quickly found the way to my heart is to do well against the Rays, and in particular do well against the Rays at Tropicana Field. Now, of his as we say, his career high is 19 home runs. And I wish I could remember the podcast I saw him on. A few months ago. Whit Merrifield was on a podcast and they were talking about his power numbers. And he was like laughing, saying, listen, I play in the American League Central. This was at the time, I beg your pardon. This was before the trade deadline. That's when this was. So this was months ago. And he was talking about, listen, I play my schedule in the American League Central. There's no hitter ballparks in the American League Central. My home games are at Kauffman Field. Oh my gosh, there's no home runs to be had at Kauffman Field. And he said, chuckling, said, listen, let me go play a season at, say, like the Rogers Center, for example. I'll hit in the 20s. That just happened. He just walked in the door to the Rogers Center, to a full season at the Rogers Center. His road ballparks now, instead of those non-home run road ballparks in the American League Central, now he comes in the American League East, hitter ballpark like New York on his road schedule now often, hitter ballpark like Boston on his road schedule often. I think we're going to see big things here this season from Whit Merrifield. Certainly, I believe that the potential is there at the very least. From a career standpoint, he's been feast or famine when it comes to the off-speed pitches, sometimes really good, sometimes, oh my goodness, it's a very easy way for the very, very easy route for the pitcher to go to get him out. So he does have to get some consistency there. Always good against the fastball, so you know he's going to fit in to this Blue Jay team. Always good against the fastball. I just want to reiterate, I just want to mention here, three times he has led the league in stolen bases. That 2021 season, right? The 2021 season was that we talk about him between the years in 2022. Well, the last time we saw Whit Merrifield, a totally committed for a full season, Whit Merrifield was 2021. And again, I want to mention, led the league in stolen bases, led the league in doubles, led the league in sacrifice flies. What happened last season after Whit Merrifield was installed, the last 2 weeks or so of the season, as the everyday second baseman for the Toronto Blue Jays? We saw, unfortunately, as Blue Jay fans, that Santiago Espinal was exposed as the season went on, right? It showed that he's maybe not that everyday player. Whit Merrifield brought in. The Blue Jays hand him the reins for the last couple weeks of the season. They play all four American League East foes during that time. Whit Merrifield goes 20 for 48. That's a .417 batting average. Is that going to work? Holy moly. Now, I know that doesn't extrapolate, right? I know he's not about to hit .400 this season for the Toronto Blue Jays, but you see how many exciting things have walked in the door. The defensive versatility. Didn't you notice? The Blue Jays were linked to every fourth outfielder that was available in free agency. They didn't bite on any. And I maintained that entire time because I think that they firmly believe that Whit Merrifield can be that serviceable fourth outfielder in addition to that second baseman. The versatility, the flexibility, veteran. I want to mention that I felt like Whit Merrifield was reinvigorated. Did you notice as his time with the Blue Jays went on, especially those 2 weeks where he was starting and really having success, his spirits went to next levels. He was actively, you know that camera they have as they're all coming in after the game. And sometimes Alek Manoah always makes a comment to the camera. Right? Vlad usually does too. Whit Merrifield, those last 2 weeks of the season, did you notice he was actively searching out these cameras to send some, hey, let's go Blue Jay fans. Hey, coming at the end of a road trip. Hey, coming back home to Canada. Can't wait to see these fans. He really, 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 for somebody who might have been trepidatious about becoming a Toronto Blue Jay, especially with the whole vaccine thing, he really got invigorated and seems to have bought into and is already really enjoying this Toronto Blue Jay fan base. His base running, forget about it. Absolute next level. It's something we're going to look at in our good, bad, and ugly here in a minute here with this new Blue Jay outfield. Again, I consider Whit Merrifield part of this new Blue Jay outfield, fourth outfielder, albeit I want Whit at second base every day, but I do think he's going to get time in that outfield. And his base running, completely next level. I don't just mean the stolen bases. I'm talking about in general, his base running, in general, his baseball IQ, next level. This guy's nickname is Two-Hit Whit. Yes, please. Two-Hit Whit. Yes, please. Whit Merrifield, you look at the bottom of this Blue Jay lineup right now, it's going to have Whit Merrifield there. And it's just, again, we're going to deep dive this new look outfield in a moment here. But the flexibility and that is now at the bottom of this lineup, the ways to manufacture runs that is now at the bottom of this lineup, really, really, really exciting. Whit Merrifield is chief amongst those reasons to be excited about the bottom of this lineup, the way the opportunity to lengthen this lineup. What did we see in 2021 when the Blue Jays made that run? They fell just short of the playoffs, granted, but they made that run in September because the bottom third of that lineup caught absolute fire. Now you've got the bottom of the lineup producing as it turns over to the killers at the top of the lineup. The Blue Jays become an extremely difficult team to beat, and Whit Merrifield brings all of these things to the table. I think he's the 2023 X Factor. The Built March Madness bracket is here. We know you have a favorite bar or puff. Now it's your time to make that count. If you go to builtmarchmadness.com to vote, that's builtmarchmadness.com to vote for your favorites. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, you'll be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners will get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will win a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You got to try Built. Built is the best protein bar ever. Yeah, like seriously, they're so good. You're going to keep checking to make sure, hey, these are good for me, right? What makes Built bars and puffs so good? Well, for starters, high in protein, low in sugar, and how about covered in 100% real chocolate? Yes, 100% real chocolate. Run to builtmarchmadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March, so hop in and support your pick. Now, in our second segment, let's get into some good and bad and ugly, and let's deep dive this new look. Wow, is it ever. Toronto Blue Jay outfield. Raimel Tapia, out, thank goodness. Jackie Bradley Jr., out. Bradley Zimmer, out. Even Lourdes Antayo, out and out. The only outfielder that remains is George Springer, and even he has a new address. You can't find him in center field anymore. He's over in right field now. So just wholesale changes to this outfield. And when you look at the good, the bad, and the ugly, the headline of the good is the defense that just walked in the door. This Toronto Blue Jay outfield defensively in 2023 is absolutely going to be top tier. It's going to be amongst the best in baseball. Will not surprise me at all if we look up and all the metrics and the eye test, everything about this outfield defense at the end of the season tells us they were the best outfield defensively in baseball. That will not surprise me at all. They will certainly be in the conversation. Let's start with George Springer. He moves over to right field. Now, so he replaces Teo. We would certainly prefer Teo's arm to George Springer's arm, yes, but every other aspect of baseball defensively, George Springer absolutely superior to Teoscar Hernandez. So a definite arrow pointed upwards for the outfield defense in right field, and the arrow in center field and left field pointed as high up, just with bold, it's bold pointed, arrow pointed upwards. My gosh. Varsho and Kiermaier both walk in the door. Both are absolutely elite defensively. Now, if you're talking about these two, especially Kiermaier, then yes, you're going to have some concerns with the offense. We're going to touch on that in the bad and the ugly. But I do want to say one thing. There is something I want to mention. Whether you've been a baseball fan for as long as I have, or you're brand new to baseball or anything in between, regardless, does not matter how long you've been watching baseball, you've seen changes. Rob Manfred, who I cannot stand, has been making awful, in my opinion, changes. But anyway, changes to baseball left, right, and center. So no matter how long you've been watching baseball, you've seen a lot of changes. You've seen a different game. There are some things that, of course, that have stood the test of time that are still true today, that have always been true, that have always been the case. And one of those things is you can be a very legitimate World Series contender. We just saw this with the Houston Astros, with Martin Maldonado as the catcher in the ninth spot. You can be a legitimate World Series contender and have a poor hitter hitting in your ninth spot if that poor hitter in your ninth spot is elite defensively. That does describe Kevin Kiermaier. No shift. So I think Kiermaier will improve that way as well. And talk about how about a glass half full cause for optimism here that Kevin Kiermaier is going to be okay defensively for the Blue Jays. Well, how about the fact he's hitting .287 for his career at Rogers Center? He was a Tampa Bay Ray for 10 years. He's got a lot of experience playing at the Rogers Center. .287? That's a big time yes, please. I cannot predict that that's what he's going to hit over a full season at the Rogers Center, but it's significantly higher than what his career average is. So hopefully some cause for optimism there that no shift and hitting at Rogers Center, that we actually are going to see at least a decent, if not good hitter, but at least a decent hitter in that ninth spot. But again, the calling card, the good here is how good he is defensively. The pitchers are going to love Kevin Kiermaier. Also want to include, of course, Whit Merrifield in here as the fourth outfielder. I just, in my opinion, waxed poetically. I hope you would agree with some of the points I was making about Whit in our first segment here. You see why I'm so excited about Whit Merrifield. You notice the Blue Jays were linked to every fourth outfielder available in free agency. Like just incredible in this offseason. They didn't bite on any of them. And I've said all along, I think the Blue Jays believe that Whit Merrifield, they already have that fourth outfielder in a Blue Jay uniform. It's Whit Merrifield. I want Whit at second base, and I think you'll see a lot of time at second base. But if he's that fourth outfielder, he will not be out there exactly embarrassing himself, right? Let's put it that way. The flexibility that these guys bring to the lineup. So here's two left-handed batters that just walked in the door in Kiermaier and Varsho. What I want to mention as well, that with a Springer moving over to right field, hopefully One of the main pros, right, in the pros and cons column, one of the main pros of Springer over to right field is the fact that it's going to be a lot less wear and tear on him. He's always getting these little nicks and bruises and things like that, right? Issues that are causing him to miss time or issues that are causing him to need days off in the outfield where he has DH days. Would you believe George Springer last year had 40 games as a designated hitter? This season, I think that's barely going to be in the double digits. If you're the Blue Jays, there's many games you want Danny Jansen and Alejandro Kirk in the lineup. One of them's got a DH. There's many games you want Brandon Belt and Vlad Guerrero Jr. in the lineup. One of them's got a DH. So having George Springer take up that DH spot, not at all ideal. Hopefully he'll need a lot less DH days this season. So again, the flexibility for the lineup for John Schneider, and I think Don Mattingly is going to play a big role in lineup construction, but the flexibility for Blue Jay management with this new outfield, absolutely through the roof. How about the base running? Holy moly, night and day. It's going to be the best base running outfield we've ever seen in Toronto. Dalton Varsho last season stole 16 bases. That would have led the Blue Jays. There were two Blue Jays last season that had double-digit stolen bases. Kevin Kiermaier five times has had double-digit stolen bases. One of those two Blue Jays that had double digits last season led the team. In fact, it was George Springer with 14. So all kinds of base running and stolen base opportunities in this outfield. Again, Whit Merrifield's stolen base machine. So already with the previous rules, a lot of base running goodness to look forward to. But now, especially with these new rules trying to promote action on the base pass, this Blue Jay outfield, wow, the base running. And it's not just the stolen bases, right? It's the first to third. It's the getting the great jump and reading where the outfield is positioned, getting that great jump and scoring from second on a bloop hit or on a cheesy base hit, right? It's all of those things that I think really are going to contribute to this base running of the Blue Jay outfield being very much in the good category. Also would want to mention Nathan Lucas. Now, he's a left-handed batter as well. Just a depth option, but what did we see from Nathan Lucas in spring training? He wasn't exactly out there embarrassing himself. Kevin Biggio, even in spring training, wasn't exactly out there embarrassing himself. Now, Biggio, you don't want to give extended time in the outfield to Biggio, but he just looks so much more comfortable out there. And as much as we love Lourdes and Teo if you're Kevin Biggio, you're not going to Lourdes Ortale to pick brains about how to get better jumps and things defensively. But how about when Varshow and Kiermaier walk in the door? I think they've helped Kevin Biggio improve as an outfielder as well. Now, of course, there's some bad here. Have to acknowledge the injuries, right? Kevin Kiermaier coming off an injury. George Springer's often injured. Springer's averaging barely over 100 games as a Blue Jay. And Varsho hasn't really had these sort of injuries, but tell me that Dalton Varsho isn't going to fit in with the Toronto Blue Jays. The oddest injuries that have happened to players have happened to the Jays over the last couple of years. Well, last season, Dalton Varsho was coming in from the outfield, wasn't really paying attention. Somebody tossed him a ball. It hit him in the jaw, and he got hurt that way. Like, isn't that such a Blue Jay way to get hurt? So hopefully these things will work out, and the injuries won't be an issue. But we would have to acknowledge as well that the batting averages. Varsho, parts of three seasons in Major League Baseball. He's only played one full season, but has been on the big league level parts of three seasons. A career 234 hitter. Kiermaier, a career 248 hitter. Last season, before he got hurt, he was at 228. George Springer actually has had three seasons in a row where his batting average has been below his career average. So, yes, I'm excited about a lot of the flexibility, and it won't be a home run or bust outfield, but certainly the hitting does need to take a step forward. How about the ugly? Varsho and Kevin Kiermaier, they combined to hit just 246 versus lefties. We mentioned that Dalton Varsho last season was his first full season in Major League Baseball. He hit just 221 versus lefties. Dalton Varsho last season belted 27 home runs. That's going to work. That's a yes, please. But I got to say, only one of those home runs was against a lefty. Definite improvements need to be made there. Now, I'm a fan of Dalton Varsho. I think Dalton Varsho is going to be very good this season, but I do have this in the ugly category because on the surface, the Toronto Blue Jays have World Series contender, you know, status for 2023, and their everyday left fielder, Varsho, has only played 13 games in left field at the majors. Again, I do think he's going to be very good, but if we're being open and honest, on paper, that's not exactly ideal. Pro Baseball GM is one of the coolest games I've played in a while. I've always thought I could be a great Major League GM. As it turns out, not all that easy, right? If you've had that same thought and fantasized about managing your own franchise, go and download Pro Baseball GM immediately. The game allows you to manage every strategic aspect of a franchise. You play through seasons, you lead your franchise and fans to glory as you build your historic dynasty. In the simulation game, you're responsible for hiring the right coaches and staff, managing your team's finances. You scout and draft players, manage through difficult personalities and injuries, and you navigate your franchise through free agency and, of course, all of the ups and downs that come with the season. All of this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free and playable offline. So once you download it, don't even need to be in Wi-Fi. You can play that on the go. You play as you want, when you want. Locked On Blue Jays listeners get 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo Locked On in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseball.com, scan the code, or look it up in the app store. That's probaseballgm.com, Ultimate Baseball GM. Start your fantasy today and get your friends involved as well. All the Locked On hosts are in a friendly competition for this. It's going to be a lot of fun. Third and final segment, and here on Locked On Blue Jays, we'd like to deep dive some numbers in this segment. Now, there are 3 days, including today, 3 days that we have to find a way to get through before it is go time for the 2023 Toronto Blue Jays. So that's the number we're going to deep dive today, the number 3 in Toronto Blue Jay history. First, some Locked On Blue Jay trivia. 3 is the franchise record for most walk-off home runs in one season by a Blue Jay. Drop your comments. Give me your guesses. Who was that Toronto Blue Jay? 3 was a number worn by one of the more enjoyable Blue Jays in Toronto Blue Jay history, Mookie Wilson. The Blue Jays acquired Mookie at the trade deadline in the 1989 of the season. Mookie Wilson, if you remember him, just so charismatic, such a great personality, ear-to-ear grinning all the time. When the Blue Jays acquired Mookie at the trade deadline in 1989, they were actually below 500. Did he ever come in and provide a spark? Holy moly, the Jays will go 37 and 20 after the trade deadline. This was a below 500 team. In walks Mookie Wilson. There's the catalyst, 37 and 20. They win the American League East. Two seasons later, in 1991, they would win the American League East again. So Mookie was a Blue Jay for about 2.5 seasons, went to the playoffs twice with them. He would retire after that 91 season. Mookie was never a guy who was going to put up eye-pop emoji stats, but man, as such a catalyst, such a spark plug at the top of that lineup, he's your leadoff hitter, he's your speedster, and he came up with a lot of clutch hits as well. Mookie Wilson, really, really enjoyable Toronto Blue Jay. One of the funniest Toronto Blue Jays to ever wear number three was Orlando Hudson. You remember the O-Dog? Orlando Hudson, as a rookie in 2002, was trying to make the team out of spring training. Now, side note, he would be called up later on in 2002. But why didn't he make the team out of spring training? Well, it could be because at the time he was sent down, he was like 0 for 16. He was struggling at the plate. But it also could be, or at least a part played in the fact that this was J.P. Ricciardi's first spring training. He had just been hired as the Blue Jays general manager. And about halfway through spring, when O-Dog was sent down, the media, he was having a media scrum, and the media was asking him, hey, have you had a chance to meet your new boss, J.P. Ricciardi, yet? And O-Dog says, and I quote, smooth car, smooth looking cat. He looks like a pimp back in his day. He's a good dude. I'm going to say those first parts again. Smooth looking, a smooth car, smooth looking cat, looks like a pimp back in his day. This is about the general manager. My goodness. J.P. Ricciardi did say the sending O-Dog down didn't have anything to do, that the timing was coincidental because he was struggling, but he definitely mentioned that he had a conversation with O-Dog and he was not appreciative of those sort of comments. My goodness. O-Dog would go on to have a good career, by the way, you know, a four-time Gold Glove winner and a two-time All-Star. Now, my favorite player to wear number three in Toronto Blue Jay history was Reed Johnson. Threes are wild on this one. Now, Reed Johnson was wore number three for the Blue Jay and has the franchise record for being hit by a pitch three times. Yeah, he was hit by a pitch in a game, three different pitches in a game. And that happened in three different games. Pardon me. And if you saw Reed Johnson, he's a small guy. You wouldn't think he's a magnet for these baseballs coming in, but his style, see, he leaned into a lot of these pitches, yes. But my goodness, three games was hit by a pitch three different times. Two of those games actually came in April of 2006. He led baseball with 21 hit batsmen that year. He was hit by a pitch 21 times that year. My gosh. And that 2006 was by far and away his career year. It's one of the great seasons, honestly, in Toronto Blue Jay history. Reed Johnson would hit 319. He had a 390 on base percentage. I mean, I guess so. You're getting hit all the darn time, right? But still, 319 and 390 out of your leadoff spot with an 869 OPS. These are all not just career highs. Those were all by far career highs. But for Reed Johnson, again, one of the better seasons in Toronto Blue Jay history. And he played every single position in the outfield too. So from a flexibility standpoint, wow, I loved Reed Johnson. We talked about Frank Catalanato earlier. There are a few seasons where it was Reed Johnson in the leadoff spot and Frank Catalanato in the two spot. It's my favorite 1-2 combo in Toronto Blue Jay history. Absolutely. Thank you for spending part of your Monday with me talking Toronto Blue Jay baseball. Very much look forward to seeing you again tomorrow. Now, if you're like me, just a baseball fan, in particular fantasy baseball fan, then keep it here on Locked On in the Locked On Network and check out the Locked On Fantasy Baseball as well. Have an amazing rest of your Monday, and we'll see you tomorrow.